All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. As we led up into chapter 5, we saw Joshua meet the captain of the Lord's hosts at the end of chapter 5. And we get up here to chapter 6. And the theme of this chapter is the fall of Jericho. The key verse is going to be verse 2, which we'll read shortly. And this thing is laid out in three parts here. First part is verses 1 through 6 about the siege of Jericho, because they're going to take the thing. Then you got the surrounding of Jericho. And then you got the saved of Jericho and whom God saved out of that city. And as we begin reading in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thee, into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let the 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on, and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of the ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, You shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I bid you shout, then shall you shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns went before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with trumpets. The 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp, so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the 2 men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver, and the gold, and the vessels of brass and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. So Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. As we look through Joshua chapter 6 tonight, I'm reminded of what Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 9 says, where it says, The thing that hath been is that which shall be. What God gives us a picture of in Joshua chapter 6 is what I want to preach to you tonight on when Jesus returns. When Jesus returns. I notice a lot of folks this day, they're trying to put that thing out and say it ain't going to happen, but it is going to happen. God gives us a picture of it here and gives us a clear doctrinal piece upon piece thing of it in the New Testament, but the type of it's right here in Joshua chapter 6. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to help us with this message. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we pray, God, as we look towards the Word of God tonight, Lord, that you would just be with us and help us to see the great things of the Word of God. Help us, Lord God, to follow after you and to do the things that we need to do as Christians to be pleasing unto you and to you only. Help us, God, to go out and win the lost. Help us, God, to do everything we're supposed to do. And God, help us look into this chapter and apply it to our lives, God, that we may follow you better. Lord, I pray for our understanding tonight according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I pray, God, that you'll just help us, Lord God, with our understanding, every one of us. I pray you'd help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. To preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Lord, we thank you in advance for everything you're going to do for us. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look tonight in Joshua chapter 6 at this type of the Lord's coming, when Jesus returns, first off, we see this, in this type of this thing, we see that the Lord's plan is clearly directed by the Lord himself. You remember at the end of chapter 5, we left off with Joshua speaking with the captain. Loose thy shoe. Place thou standest thou on is holy. He told him that for a reason. He's fixing to give him some walking commandments. And what God wants us to do is get along with him. Find out what his direction is and go with that thing. When it says here in chapter 6, Jericho verse 1, said, was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Right. If you go study this city of Jericho, you're going to find out it was 7.8 acres in size. It had a double wall for protection. The outer wall was 6 feet thick, and the inner wall was 12 feet thick. So you got 18 feet of wall and a little space between them that a guard would walk through. Those walls were 3 stories high. So what we got is a big old wall. I wonder if Mr. Trump's looked at these directions right here. Don't build one, build two. You're going to put them out and keep them out. This is how you do it, right?
Yeah.
The only problem is if Trump built one like this, this one fails, so don't do this. Yeah, I know. The only people who don't like it's illegal anyway. Say amen right there.
Amen.
If you come in this country the right way and you want to do right, you'll do right no matter what.
Right.
And if you're in here sneaking around all this other stuff, you're a crook anyway.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
They'll get me for it, not y'all. Hello, Pelosi. Hello, Hillary. Hello, Oprah. We don't care. Amen.
Amen.
But see, God has a message there. You see verse 2? Now watch this. I just gave you how that city was, how it was defensed. They have plenty of stuff there. They was well stocked, could withstand the whole thing. But verse 2 says, the Lord said. And look what he said. He said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. God looks at the job as already completed.
Yeah.
You and I say, we hope this happens. God says, it's already done. Go get it. Isn't that something? You ever been fretting about something and you sit there and say, I don't know how it's going to happen. And God say, you know what? It's already done. It's a done deal.
Amen.
I had something happen in my life one time that troubled me so bad. I got down to pray. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. He said this. He said, just thank me for taking care of it. It's already taken care of. It didn't look like it's taken care of where I was at. Them was some mighty big walls I was looking at. That's mighty thick. There's a big old army on the other side. If we could get through the wall, there's a big old army. Couldn't take that thing. You know what God did? He let me hang on that thing for 60 days. All I had to do was get up every morning and thank him for it. Sometimes I felt like a fool. Situation not resolved, and I'm getting up saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for solving it. And my hand's trembling while I'm doing it. Thinking, this will never work out. God ain't got this, but God has it.
Right.
And if we see that the Lord is directed, then God has a message, and his message is always looks like a past tense message, like I've already got it taken care of. Mm-hmm. But see, he's viewing it from a different angle than you and I are.
Right.
He's outside the space of time looking into it, seeing where the whole thing is, where we're just right there in that one spot and can't see anything.
Right.
That's when we learn to walk by faith and not by sight and let God say, well, and if God says it's going to be okay, you mark this down, it's going to be okay every time.
That's right.
I noticed it said, the Lord said. And it said, God has a minister because he said it unto Joshua. He said, see, I've given you. He said, I have given you. When you go to looking at things like this and you see that God has a minister like that, when God's going to direct a group of people through something like that, he's going to give the direction to one person and do that thing so he can lead by that person. The others follow him as he follows the Lord. That's New Testament doctrine right there, and Old Testament doctrine all wrapped up together. It's what Paul said when he said, follow me as I follow Christ.
Yeah.
I know probably in your past you may have had a bad preacher or two here and there. You may even have a bad preacher now for all you know. But I do know this. If I'm going astray, don't follow me on the stray, follow me on the straight.
Right.
If I make a mistake, don't you make it too.
Right.
Listen, I have never met a perfect preacher.
Amen.
But I've also met a bunch of prideful preachers that never admit they're wrong.
Yep.
I know this, if I'm wrong, I'll tell you.
Right.
I always have. But I know when God directs something like this, he didn't leave a whole lot of wiggle room for mistake. He said, this is how I want it done.
Right.
And he told one guy the whole thing. Now, I got to thinking about that. Caleb was still there. He is a spirit-filled man. The Bible says he was. It said he is of another spirit compared to the rest of them. Mm-hmm. Spirit-filled. Loved God. But he had to get his message from Joshua.
Right.
Do you realize tonight you could read this Bible to yourself at the house? You could take your Bible. You don't need me to read the Bible. You can read the Bible yourself. And you can sit there and read that Bible and say, well, Lord, you give it to him, I can give it to me. Well, it's probably your attitude, number one, why he won't give it to you.
Come on.
But number two, this is how God designed for it to go.
Right.
God will give you things about the Bible, and he'll tell you things he'll never tell me. Mm-hmm. But in direction for the whole church like that and for the whole group of people, God says, we're going to do it this way.
Right.
And God's always done it that way.
Yeah.
And I noticed there that when he starts saying that stuff, it's just amazing how we know they were Jews and not Baptists because there wasn't one committee appointed to find out how to do this. Not one.
No.
I think committees have caused more problems in the churches than the devil has.
No.
Because I find this out. When God has a message and God has that minister to give out that message, he also has a method to do it by, and his method has never changed.
Right.
Let me show it to you. Look down at verse 3. See, the main strategy which brings down the city is this simple. Marching, blowing trumpets, and shouting. And he starts off by saying this, and ye shall compass the city. First thing I want 600,000 men and you're under your guard, Joshua, is to just walk around that city one time. And then it says this. He says, all ye men of war, go round about that city once, thus shalt you do 6 days. So for 6 days, every day, they're going to get up and walk around that city. And while they're doing that, verse 4, it says, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Don't miss this part right here. God told Moses to make these two silver trumpets to let them know about encouragement and peace and things like that. But these ram's horns weren't those silver horns. He points out those are seven ram's horns, not the two silver ones. So if you go to figuring that up, that ram's horn, if you get what they use it for, was to let God's enemies know, I'm fixing to get you. There's a trumpet going to blow and you're going to get it. Remember how you felt back in the junior high when we had them old bells ring, you had to run in and out of class? Some of y'all remember them? How about you remember this part? When you had to go to the office now, and you after that that principal called in and said, I need to see such and such by such and such time in the office. And your teacher sat there and said, okay, and looked at you, and the whole class looked at you. And you knew you was going to get it.
Yep.
And you wish that class would have lasted forever. But then the horn blew, and you knew you was going to get it. Now, I ain't talking about nobody's been in school since 1992. I'm talking about all us old-timers was in school before that. When that bell went off, you knew you was marching down there to get something. And it wasn't a hall pass.
Right.
There's going to be something passing your way, though, and you knew it's coming. Yeah. God said, blow them trumpets and let them know I'm coming.
Right.
And he says about that thing, he said in verse 5, it came to pass, it says that when they make a long blast of the ram's horn, and when you shall hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the walls of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Now, how about that? He called the priests up in verse 6 and take up the Ark of the Covenant. Let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. So, what we see is the Lord's plan is directed. I don't know about you. We're looking back on this, but if I was Joshua, Joshua's fought in Exodus chapter 17 and twice in Numbers in full combat. And all three times, it was God that brought the victory through combat. Now you're going to march 600,000 men of war into a place. And we're not even going to fight nobody. Just going to march. The next day we're going to come back, march. Seventh day we're going to do it seven times at the end of that outfit. Then we're going to blow that thing, those horns right there, and everybody's going to shout.
Right, yeah.
I read one time where the vibrations of their voice is what caused that concrete to crumble. It wasn't voices that dropped that wall. They dug that place up over there. They found geographically over there. They went to that region over there, and they studied that thing. They studied a map. They found out where Jericho used to be, and they was looking through the stuff of it and everything, and they found those walls, and they weren't crumbled. But the tops of the walls were even with the plain of the city. They didn't just come down. The guy that wrote the article in Thompson Chain Reference Bible said it looks as if somebody put their hands over the huge individual and pressed them straight into the ground until they could walk over on flat land. No wrecking balls, no bulldozers. But I can see a set of hands pushing that thing straight in, can't you?
Yeah.
And before I ever read that article, it said those walls fell down flat. I believed it right here before I ever read that article. But when I read that article, I thought, now, that's how God does something right there. It shows that the Lord's plan is directed. This is how we're going to do it. And Joshua didn't know that was exactly how that's going to happen. He didn't have any idea, but he believed God. So when we see the second coming of Christ, the Lord's plan is directed towards us. God has a message. That message has never changed. You got to have the right God and the right gospel, and you got to take that thing to the right people, which is the lost people, and let God save sinners, because there's coming a time when God's going to bring destruction and wrath on this place. He's going to pull his church out of here. 7 years later, he's coming back like this.
Right.
And the great wall that's built around that city where the great whore lives over in Rome, she's a coming down.
Right.
Revelation 17 and 18 says that God's going to bring that city down.
Yep.
Mystery Babylon, he's going to bring her right down.
Amen.
Now notice this. We see that in God's timing and when Jesus returns, we see the Lord's plan is directed. But if you'll notice that the Lord's people is dispatched in verse 7. They all have been equipped to do something, it says in verse 7. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let them that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. So the armed men are going in front. Verse 8, and it came to pass when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. So we got the armed men in front, we got the priests there, we got the ark, and it says in verse 9, and the armed men that went before the priests blew with the trumpets, and watch this word right here, and the reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. Now, if you go to most people today and say, hey man, what's a re-reward? They're going to say, we don't like them archaic words. They have no place in modern society. That's why we give you a new translation of the Bible, 17 verses left out and missing about several thousand words. No, they don't say that. They say, we just want to get rid of those archaic words. Nobody uses archaic language. When I was a kid, there was these old black and white movies they showed on Shock Theater on Saturdays. One of them starred Lon Chaney. It was called The Werewolf. And that thing was filmed, I believe, in the 1940s. I watched it in the 1970s. And somehow or another, all the werewolves are now sodomites and they're in the films again. Lon Chaney is probably rolling in his grave. But they call them what again? Werewolves. Do you know what the word were is? It's the archaic word for man. So if we're going to have a film that's going to have an archaic word in it, and we're going to fuss about the perfect word of God with archaic word in it, I think we are being double barrel hypocrites by going to see a werewolf movie, don't you?
Oh. How'd that happen?
How'd that happen, wonder?
No.
Hadn't got right by him, did it? Come right over the plate.
Yep.
Umpire said, strike. Hey, don't fuss about archaic words if you're running off these movie theaters with these archaic words in the title. Brother, I finally watched the first Lord of the Rings. You talk about archaic words. Lord have mercy. Archaic words in them movies. So listen, don't fuss about this Bible. Just read the Bible and believe God.
Right.
And listen, invest yourself in a dime store dictionary. And if you run into a word you don't understand, but you'll run into far more words that's not used today that you understand than you will archaic words. I promise you that.
Right.
Look them up and see what they are. You follow reward through the Bible. In this instance, it's showing that the people are coming behind that ark. That ark's that type of Christ. Remember, he's coming again. Guess who's coming with him when he comes back like that? Tens of thousands of his saints. We're riding back in with him on the lead horse, and all the rest of us are behind him, and there's a picture of it right there.
Right.
So what about that crowd in front? It'll be just him in front this time because he's going to do all the army up there. He's going to fight all of them by himself. You see, all this stuff is pointing towards Jesus coming again. Verse 10 says, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout. Boy, I got to looking at that thing and I said, I know they're Jews now. Baptists never be quiet that long. You know what they'd be talking about? They'd make that first lap around and say, did you see what I saw back over there? Boy, I tell you what, I don't know if we can do this or not. I don't know if God pull this thing off or not. We ought to vote Joshua out. I don't think we can go that way.
Come on.
That's what Baptists would have done to Joshua. I'm glad there's Jews there instead of Baptists, ain't you?
Come on.
Here's the thing. He said, even when we get through, when we start this thing, don't talk for 7 days. I got to looking at that and I thought, you know, before every battle there's fasting and prayer. They didn't fast for food that time. They fasted for words. You ever thought about doing that? Take 24 hours and not say nothing. Some of you sweating right now. I don't know if I could do that or not. And I don't mean you walk around with a pad typing everything to somebody. I mean, you just shut her up for seven days like that. Could you do it? One honest person in the whole crowd right here. Hey, listen, when we look at stuff like this and we see how God works all this out, they were encouraged, they were edified to do this thing. It says in verse 12, Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns. It says, before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the reward, there's that old archaic word again. How about it, werewolf? Came after the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they passed the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass on the seventh time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Now Joshua's plugged in with it. Hath, past tense. Now he's not talking about, we're going to go get Jericho. We already got Jericho. And the wall still ain't fell down. So we got the Lord's plan directed. The Lord's people are dispatched. They're getting ready to do all this. But there's one key missing ingredient in all this, and that's this. They got to have power to take down that wall. I've watched a building be knocked down before with one of them wrecking balls, and that's pretty neat. They'll start swinging that thing like this right here and get him to, that pendulum going, all of a sudden that dude will turn that crane. It'll come right in the middle of that thing. Boom. Wall starts falling down, all this other stuff. A man hired me and a friend of mine one time to tear old house down. So we're going to tear it down with. He handed us a hammer and a pry bar. And I looked at them things and I said, you serious? He said, if I could rent a bulldozer, I would get one. He said, I can't afford that. I can afford you. So we went up on top of that thing. We started sticking stuff under stuff and pulling and pulling and pulling and going and going and going. And the next thing I know, we had the roof off of it. Then we went up to that pry bar and we tore them rafters out of that place. And then came the fun part. Now that there's nothing over here, we started kicking stuff to the outside so the thing could come along and get it. And then we got the bad news. We was the thing that was going to come along and get it and put it in the truck. And when it was all said and done, there was nothing left. If I took you to that piece of property right now, you could walk on, you'd walk right through that thing, all the grass over there in that flat spot, and you'd never know a house was sitting there. It's gone. And that's what God intended to happen here. But they had to have something to get that done. They had to have power. Here's the third part of this thing I want you to get. The Lord's power is demonstrated here. They did everything God told them to do, even though it didn't make sense to them. Now God's saying, here's what we're going to do. And it says in verse number 17 that God started tearing down these walls. It said, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers. He tells them down through those verses what to take, what to do, and all that. And it gives the things about the silver and gold, put them in the treasury of the house of the Lord and all that. But you get down to verse 22, and we see the Lord's power demonstrated in the fact that God did something that would just demonstrate his power even further, that's going to affect his own son, Jesus Christ, when he was born. Right. Here's what he did. It says, to go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear in her. He sent the very spies into there that would be the one that was the ones that talked to her and said, when she hid them, that we'll protect you. But what color line was supposed to go out her window?
Scarlet.
There's only one hanging in the whole city.
Yep.
Wasn't hard to miss.
Right.
Now, when they first went there to the harlot's house, do you know what they found? A harlot's house. I don't know if you've ever been to one in places, but that, listen, you go into something like that, it ain't like walking into the local Christian people's house and all the nice things and nice people and all that. That's in the bad part of the city with the bad people. Now here's God. Out of all that crowd I just told you about, 7.8 acres worth of people, who'd God save out of that thing? The worst people there. Now boy, this ought to get you right here. The day you got saved,
yep,
you had all your walls up, and you know what God did?
Hey.
And walked right into you.
That's good.
You had all your defenses up. Where'd Cain get his wife? Huh? Got you there. Where'd Cain get his wife? Can God make a rock so big you can't pick it up? You had all them in there. You had it all figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to say this, well, I ain't going to church down over them hypocrites. You had it all worked out. But yet that day when God started getting in the saving business around you, he ignored a whole city's worth and came and got you.
Right.
That's the Lord's power demonstrated. I'm glad he didn't save the mayors and the politicians and all the good people here. Because they would have went out, they'd have walked out to Jericho's rubble saying, we were the best, that's why God saved us. Mm-hmm. She never bragged about why God saved her. She knew she was the worst. Ain't that something?
Yeah.
God's able to do stuff like that to this day, and that's the way God's always
that's
done
right.
it. He always saves that which looks unsavable to itself.
Yeah.
He always reaches grace out far beyond where justice should have met it and reaches out there in mercy and gets that sinner that's closest to hell. God's so good like that, he has foreordained and arranged things that would take you and put you in places where you would hear the word of God because God knew before you ever read it. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and he got you to a place to listen to that Bible. But you had your wall. I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to be no fanatic. I ain't going to be part of that. They ain't going to get me to that. I ain't going to say that. I ain't going down there to that church. He ain't hollering at me. Yet here you are. What happened? The Lord's power is demonstrated. He saved you, you old harlot.
Right.
He saved you.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's something for you to consider. Suppose Rahab is your daughter. She's a what again? And she's your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you go down to the shrine club, you ain't telling everybody what all your daughter's doing. You'll say, well, yeah, my daughter's a harlot, man. She makes $30 an hour. All the rest of them talking about mine's a bank president, mine's a lawyer, and you know, mine makes more money than yours. Now, you wouldn't whisper a word about it because you'd be ashamed of her. But you know what? When it come time and the Lord saved her, I find her father's household had moved across town and got up under that scarlet line
right. Just
like she was.
Amen.
And that shows us a picture that God saves the harlot on the bottom end and the good people all under the same color.
Right.
Blood.
Right.
That scarlet.
Amen.
Well, ain't this good?
Good?
When Jesus returns, the Lord's power is demonstrated.
Mm-hmm.
When he comes back, he's going to already have his saved with him. It's like this.
Yeah.
Then people were in no danger, none whatsoever.
Right.
You ever see this thing where people's buying 55-gallon drums to put water and food in case they have to go through the tribulation? You know what? Thank God for April 7th, 1994, the day I got saved. I ain't got to put up no barrels or nothing no more.
Right.
I can't afford to, and I don't know where I'd put it if I did.
Can
you imagine that having 55? Some of y'all's probably got some of these barrels. I'm talking to you, Anna. 55 gallons of water stored up. Every once in a while, you're going to drop a little chlorine tablet in it, stir it up so it don't get bad on you. Because you think, what if I don't go? If you don't go, you'll never know we went.
That's right.
There'll be no afterthought of the thing. Listen, the Bible says that God will send you a strong delusion.
Right.
You better get in before God sends his crowd to marching around this earth.
Amen.
By the way, if you go to Revelation chapter 1, you're going to find out that Jesus cometh in the clouds. Do I have to tell you how many times he's going to pass by this place before he finally shows up here? 7 times. I believe there's 7. What year? How many years in tribulation again? 7. That just keeps being a constant theme here, don't it? The Lord's coming. He's going to take his church out of the way. 7 years later, he's coming back. I do hope and pray tonight that you are ready to meet him. And listen, we see this picture of this thing right here. As I look through this and I see this, I can only say one thing as I look back on it. You know, when you look at that thing, the whole thing, how God did this, is summed up in one phrase. Look down at verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua.
Yeah.
That's the difference. If you've got the Lord with you, let's stand with